The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Please turn toward me. I come into the middle of the congregation, symbolic that God's word indeed has come into our midst. These words. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And this is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Indeed, we know as Christians that we are honest about what could be termed as the dark side of life. The difficulty, the uncertainty, the pain, the tragedy, the illness, the disease, all of these, and sometimes more, come. And they come like a thief in the night. And the psalmist reminds us that indeed the rain falls upon the just and the unjust, that the rain indeed falls upon those who believe and those who are unbelievers as well. The diagnosis came just this past week. And we were informed that the cancer cells are now of the most aggressive kind, and a member of St. Peter's must undergo the most aggressive kind of chemotherapy. And within the last 2 days, there was a 14-year-old girl, not a member of our congregation, but a friend of one of our members, and she now lies in a coma at the University of California Hospital in San Diego. Practically every bone in her body was broken. Internal injuries are tremendously severe. It was the result of a boating accident that some of you may have heard about on the 3rd of July over a television news station. A friend of a member of our parish. And so that friend called, and I went to the hospital on the 4th of July and had the privilege of meeting with her parents and her family and friends, and the privilege of praying that Jesus, who we know as the great physician, would bring healing of body, mind, and spirit to her. And then David McGregor, the son of Charles and Pat, members of our congregation here at St. Peter's, hospitalized at UCLA, injured from a fireworks, pyrotechnic kind of thing that he was involved with. There's some internal burning and some nerve damage. He's in stable condition. We thank God for that. And those three kinds of tragic news come even yet on the heels of the three deaths in St. Peter's family. And our hearts are still reeling at the loss of loved ones. And we continue our own prayers, and we continue our own struggle with grief at the death of a beloved pastor by the name of Timothy C. Sims. Sandra Mack, the office administrator, keeps the calendar, does a wonderful job. I'm just beginning to learn how wonderful she is. I looked last week. She's on vacation. She'll be returning now on the 9th. But I looked at that calendar in the middle of the week, and I noted that she had penned in on June 10th these words, Pastor Sims' departure. And then on June 11th, the next day, she had penned in TCS, vacation. And across that same week, on Friday, there was penned in an entry that read, Memorial Service, or TCS. And then I looked from June to July, and on July 9th, the entry was penned in and firm, bold hand, TCS return. Those things were put in before we knew. Return. And that is what we had hoped. And that is what we had expected. Instead, his death has occurred, and everything is changed. And we are painfully aware that his family and his family, known as his church family here at St. Peter's, nothing is ever going to be the same again. That yesterday is over, that the relationships have ended, those precious relationships that once was there. And there is another way, however, for us to look upon this truth. If life now went on just the same without Pastor Sims' presence, if there hadn't been any change, if things just simply went on, we could conclude that his life, which we remember and which we celebrate, made no contribution, filled no space, meant nothing. That fact that he left behind a place that cannot be filled is high tribute to him. You know as well as I that life can be the same after we lose a trinket, but never the same when we lose a treasure. And so now we are forever forced to commend that treasure to the preciousness of our memory. It is especially in times such as these, when the news is tragic, that we as a people of God remember, that we as a people of God believe that God indeed hears our cry, and that God cares, and that the very heart of God himself is grieved with us as well. And we listen when our Lord Jesus speaks to us out of the lesson we read a few moments ago, when we hear the words, Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Come in the quiet of prayer. There's power that will melt tribulation away, and you'll find it brings peace that will offer release from the burdens that once caused dismay. So turn your eyes upward toward heaven, where God with compassion and care will grant from above his comfort and love in the quiet communion of prayer. And as we said last Sunday, as God's people in prayer, we can sing in the rain, and we will pray through the storm. How is it that we make sense out of senseless things? We look for someone, or we look for something that is beyond ourselves, that we can firmly plant our feet upon, that will give us some stability, that will give us some hope, that will give us some comfort, because inside we too have that feeling as though we are very lost, and at best, we also are among the walking wounded. And our grief is very real, and the hot tears of grief are very close to the surface. So close that we can hardly look back to that day. That day of tragedy when so many stars fell from the sky. And we ask, to whom do we turn? The telephone rings in the office. I pick it up and I answer the phone, and the voice at the other end says, Pastor, we don't know each other very well. Are you there? Yes, I am here. Thank God. I just needed to hear a voice of reassurance. And that voice of reassurance peals out to you and to me today from the larger church that says that indeed there is one who is able to give us assurance, that there is one who is beyond ourselves, that there is one who comes not to bring us answers, but there is one who comes as a gentle shepherd, seeking us in our lostness, in our brokenness, in our grief, and finding us. And he gives to us his presence, and he says, lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. To whom do we go? Especially now. St. Peter answered that question a long time ago. He answered it in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. And at the same time of answering that question, he says to us, you know that the possibilities are endless. People go to all kinds of places, and we know that today. To whom do we go? People go to all sorts of things. They go to New Age philosophy. They go to humanism or materialism or agnosticism or behaviorism or Buddhism or agnosticism or behaviorism or occultism or metaphysics, just to name a few, and you could go on and on and on where we know that people go today. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? And he answers by saying, you, Lord, have the words of eternal life. Not just life, but eternal life. There's great joy when those who are lost is found, but there's no joy when the Isaacs of life come down from the mountain with the Abrahams of life, and there is no laughter, there's only weeping and lamentation, and there's a kind of weeping and a kind of lamentation that simply will not be silenced, and such is the case. And then especially when that happens, we must look beyond ourselves and we must remember that it is in Jesus that we find our hope. A hope that goes beyond this life to a hope of eternal life, and we believe that God indeed searches for his own sheep, and that sometimes they do not come home to us, but rather instead they go all the way home to him. For all the former things have passed away, and where they may dwell in safety and in peace. Remember the words of the 23rd Psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That word through means that we go to the other side. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We know only too well what the experience of death is like for us. But what was death like for Ann Cole, or Aileen Ortiz? What was death like for Pastor Timothy? And now, my good people, we are speaking together about the very heart and about the very soul of our faith. And one person has said this about death, It is like when I'm standing on the seashore and there is a sailing ship at my side, and that sailing ship spreads its sails and it sails out over the morning ocean, over that wide blue ocean, and she's an object of beauty and strength, and she is. And I stand there by the seashore and I watch her until at length that sailing ship is a ribbon where the sea and the sky come together, and then someone at my side said, "There, he's gone. There, she's gone." And she is gone. She's gone from my sight, although she is just as large in mast and hull and spar as when she left my side. Her diminished size is within me and not in her. And just at that moment when someone at my side said, "She's gone," there are other voices ready to take up the glad shout. And can't you hear them shouting? And they are saying, "Here she comes! Here she comes! Here he comes!" And that, for the Christian, is dying. For those who have faith in Jesus. In that very early childhood prayer that we have learned from our parents or from our grandparents, and if you are grandparents and haven't taught it to your grandchildren, do it. Don't let a day go by. "Now I lay me down to sleep." Do you remember that? "I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. If I should die." Is there any if about it? It is Jesus who takes us all the way home. And to that childhood prayer we add, "If I should live for other days, I pray the Lord would guide my ways." It is here today that we share those things that go to the very heart and to the very depth and to the very soul of our Christian faith. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And when we eat the bread and when we drink the wine today, we remember that it is Jesus who gave his life for us, that we might have not only abundant life, but that we might have that heavenly home. And so, to be sure, as Christians, we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. And that's why we come to celebrate every Sunday on the first day of the week. Because as Christians we shout and we say, "Christ is risen." And what do we say as God's people? "He is risen indeed." There was an old man. He walks along the beach. And the sun sets on the horizon like an orange ball. You've seen that picture, I'm sure, many, many times. The waves slap at the sand and the smell of salt water is in the air and the beach is now deserted. There's no sun to entice the sunbathers. There's not enough light for the fishermen. And so aside from a few lone joggers, the old man is alone. He's by himself and he carries with him a bucket, and that bucket is filled to the brim with shrimp, and it's not for the fish, but it's for the seagulls. And he walks to an isolated pier and he stands out on the end, and the time has come for what is a weekly ritual in his life, and he stands there and he just waits, and soon the sky becomes a mass of dancing dots that are before him, and the evening gives way to the screeching of the gulls, and they fill the sky as if they are on a pilgrimage to meet this old man who's standing at the end of the pier. And for a half an hour or so, this bushy-browed, shoulder-bent old man stands on that pier, and he's surrounded by the bird of the sea until his bucket is empty. And even after the food is gone, his feathered friends linger, and they linger as though they are attracted to more than just food, and they perch on his hat, and they walk on the pier, and it seems as though they are sharing a moment together. Remember that scene now. Tuck it away for just a moment. We'll come back to it. Remember how it is when the gospel writers describe the many scenes in which Jesus finds people who have been lost. A man had lost his sight. A woman had lost her hearing. Another had lost the ability to speak. And when what had been lost had been found, what do? They praise the God of Israel. I wish the gospel writers would have elaborated. I wonder sometimes how it is that they praise the God of Israel. How did they praise the God of Israel? I'm sure they didn't form a committee to do it. I'm sure they didn't put on robes in order to do it. And I seriously doubt that they got together and they wrote a creed in order to praise the God of Israel. And I don't think they waited until Sunday to do it. They probably just did it then. Each worshiped then and there in his or her own way. Worship is when you are aware that what you have been given is greater than what you can give. Worship is the thank you that refuses to be silenced. It's that act of gratitude that we offer to God who has stretched us out and found, searched us out and found us. And if you and I can go days without feeling that urge to say thank you to the one who has saved us, to the one who has healed us, to the one who has delivered us, then we would do well to remember today what Jesus did with his life when we eat the bread and we drink the cup. He gave his life that we might have an abundant life and that we might have a heavenly home. That old man on the pier, he could not go a week without saying thank you. His name was Eddie Rickenbacker. Perhaps some of you know the story. He was missing at sea. It was back in 1942, and he had been sent on a mission to deliver a message to General Douglas MacArthur, and with a hand-picked crew, they set off in what was known as the Flying Fortress across the South Pacific, and somewhere the crew became lost, and the fuel ran out, and the plane was forced to ditch into the sea, and all of the 8 members of that crew escaped into life rafts, and now they were battered by the weather, and they were battered by a lack of water, and they were battered by the sharks, and they were battered by the sun, but most of all, they were battered by hunger. And after 8 days, their food ran out, and there were few options that were left, and then a miracle happened, and I believe very sincerely that the age of miracles has not ended. And a miracle happened. Sometimes it does. And after an afternoon devotional service, the men said a prayer and they tried to rest, and Rickenbacker was dozing with his hat over his eyes, and then something landed on his hat, and immediately he knew that it was a seagull, and that gull meant food if he could catch it, and he did, and he caught it, and the bird was eaten, and the intestines were used for fish bait, and that crew survived. And what was a seagull doing hundreds of miles away from shore? God only knows. But whatever the reason, Rickenbacker was thankful. And as a result, every Friday, this old captain walked to the pier with a bucket full of shrimp and a heart that was filled with thanks, and you and I would be wise to do the same. We have much in common with Rickenbacker, for we too have been found by a sacrificial visitor, and his name is Jesus. And we, like that captain, have every reason to look up to worship with thanks, a thanks that refuses to be silenced, even though some loved ones do not come down from the mountain to the families who are waiting below. And yet in the midst of even these dark days, our hearts can sing the words of that old hymn, I once was lost, but now I'm found, and how great thou art. To whom shall we go in these dark days? To you, O Lord, for you have the words of eternal life. As Christians, we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. And God holds our loved ones, and He has taken them all the way home. And we rejoice as He holds them and as He holds us safe in His everlasting arms. Thanks be to God. Indeed, how great Thou art. Amen.